Hello, everybody. With Bob Christopher and Richard Piper, I'm Bob Davis, welcoming you to Basic Gospel, a media ministry dedicated to helping you hear, believe, and live the good news of Jesus Christ. We're live, on the air, and online right now, so you can be a part of the broadcast. If you have a question or need direction for the troublesome issues of real life, we invite you to call now. The number, 844-32-BASIC. That's 844-32-BASIC. Or the full number, 844-322-2742. This is Basic Gospel, and here's Bob Christopher.
Well, thank you. Andrew Farley joins us today as well, and we do have plenty of open lines right now at 844-322-2742. If you have a question that you would like to ask on today's broadcast, I encourage you to go ahead and dial that number, 844-322-2742, so that you can be a part of today's broadcast. You know, guys, as we encounter so many different people in the various places that we live and work and play, you know, one of the things that is constant is that folks feel like God is against them, that, you know, life is hard and God is pressing on them and testing them and all of these sort of things, and they feel distant, they feel condemned. And here's a great passage of Scripture in Romans 8. I think it's one of the high points of the Word of God, but Paul says this: if God is for us, who can be against us? And I think that's one of the issues that we really struggle with is coming to really believe that God is for us. Don't you find that to be true, Andrew, as far as in your ministry is concerned?
Oh, my goodness. Yeah, I mean, basically in many different ways, we are communicating the same thing over and over, Bob. We're telling people that God is for them, that God likes them, that God is in their corner, that God wants the best for them. And, you know, whether it's the fact that he initiated total forgiveness or he totally accepts them, no strings attached, or the fact that he comes to live inside of us. I mean, all of this is saying, I am for you. I'm with you. I'm in you. I'm for you. I'll never leave you, no matter what. And yet, you know, I feel like it takes a lifetime and maybe eternity to sort of probe the depths of what it means for somebody to be in our corner to this degree. I mean, we end up being duped into thinking, you know, God has an agenda for us that's going to hurt us, or God's agenda is not compatible with us, or we're going to have to become somebody else to please him. We're going to have to change who we are. We're going to have to change how we think and act in order to get his approval. And we're used to these human relationships, but God's the one who's given us this off-the-charts acceptance and love, and it's going to take some getting used to.
Yes, it really is going to take some getting used to. And, you know, I think in any situation that we find ourselves in, whether good or bad, and most of us think in terms of the bad situations, I think God's Spirit kind of presses this issue, you know, and he says, do you really believe that God is for you right now, at this very moment? And if you believe that, then are you willing to trust him to work this situation together for your good? And I know a lot of our listeners are probably in situations right now where they're looking for answers, they're looking for help, they're looking for a path forward. And we pray that this passage will be an inspiration, will be an encouragement to take that step of faith, knowing that God will work it together for good. This is Basic Gospel. Richard Piper is here. Andrew Farley is here. My name is Bob Christopher. We would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. 844-322-2742. 844-322-2742 is the number to call right now. So if you have a question or a problem situation, we would love to hear from you on today's broadcast. I raised a question with a group of guys this morning at a men's Bible study that I lead, and I said, if you were to ask God, you know, for help in any situation, what do you think God would say? What do you think he would focus his attention on? How would he address you? And oftentimes we think of behavior, you know, you need to do this, you need to do that. But I made the point that I believe that God is going to ask first and foremost a question about faith. Do we really believe the gospel message? Do we truly believe that God is for us? Do we truly believe that God loves us? Do we truly believe that he cares for us? Because faith is really the issue, isn't it? It's this life that we live is by grace through faith. It's by grace alone, through faith alone, in Christ alone. So I think, you know, God is more interested in what we believe, not just intellectually, but in our hearts, than our behavior. Not that behavior is unimportant to him, but it's lower on the priority list. Let's talk about that. Is that how God would work in a situation?
I think so. And yeah. When you go back to the passage you started with, one of everybody's favorite verses, you know, Christ Jesus, who died, more than that, who was raised to life, is at the right hand of God and is also interceding for us. And we immediately assume that God's after us, and Jesus is saying, don't whack them, Father, don't whack them. And all of the stuff before this is talking about who is it condemns, who brings any charge. It's God who has initiated his love toward us in Christ. Christ is not interceding with the Father. Christ is constantly beating down Satan in our lives so that we can respond by faith. And the faith is important because you have to be focusing on Jesus rather than on the problem or on the situation or on another person or whatever. So faith really is our response to this amazing initiative God has taken.
Yeah, I mean, God knows how this thing works because he designed us. He created us. And so, you know, my actions follow from my beliefs. And so for God to just be working on my actions, giving me thou shalt this and thou shalt that, it's a very external view, and it's an incorrect view of God at this point, because God is working in. He's not just working out, he's working in. And so it says, you know, he's working in us to will and do of his good pleasure. Well, how does he work in us? He works in us through our belief systems, what we think about him, what we think about ourselves. And as my thinking and my beliefs change, there's going to be a natural byproduct of that, that my actions are going to change. But, you know, that's legalism. Legalism, in a nutshell, is basically working the system backwards. It's saying, forget what you believe, let's just act. Forget what you believe, let's just do good-looking things.
Yes.
And so, by definition, legalism is really working the system backwards. And God is saying, I want to start from within. And, you know, Bob, earlier you're talking about how God is for us. I think it's really important, you know, even though God is working on our belief systems, and even though he's working on the way that we think, in this moment, we don't need any more growth to be accepted. We don't need any more time to be accepted. You know, the acceptance is now, and that's part of the new belief system, isn't it?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
I mean, that's what I was telling these guys this morning, is that, you know, once you're in Christ, that you've gone from death to life, and that's what salvation is. You receive the very life of Jesus Christ. Now you're standing in grace. That's where your geography is, and you will never be outside of God's favor, ever. I mean, at your very worst moment, when you were maybe doing the worst thing that you could imagine or thinking the worst thing that you could possibly think, at that moment, you're still in God's grace.
Yes.
That's just the scandalous nature of this gospel. And it's so difficult for us to really rest in that and to embrace that, because it's counterintuitive to our human way of thinking. That's why I think God's Spirit keeps pressing the point of faith. Do you genuinely believe in your heart that this is true? And I think if we're honest, I think we're going to have some doubts. I'm not so sure. I want to believe that it's true. I really do, but I'm not so sure. And when we're not so sure, that's when we kind of start reverting back to those old legalistic ways. But I think it is so vitally important for us to rest in the fact that we are always in God's favor. That's what grace is. We can never get outside of God's favor. Now, some may be offended by that. Some may feel like their toes are being stepped on, but that's truth, isn't it?
No, absolutely. It's the core of the gospel. We cannot be motivated apart from a divine acceptance. We can't be motivated apart from divine love. And God's divine love is unconditional, no strings attached. The whole point of the cross is your sins are forgiven and forgotten. And the moment that we delete that from our gospel, we have no gospel.
None whatsoever. Well, this is Basic Gospel, 844-322-2742. I keep thinking I need to put a 1 before that number, but with the new technology, that's not the case. 844-322-2742. Richard Pfeiffer, Andrew Farley, my name is Bob Christopher. We welcome you to the broadcast as well. Let's go to England and talk with our friend Saab. Hi, Saab. You're
Hi,
on
Bob.
The air.
I'm Andrew. Hi. Nice to speaking to you again. My question today, John 13, Jesus was washed the feet of disciples. But my friend told me they had a feet washed in the church last Saturday. So what's your opinion on that?
Well, Saab, I mean, first of all, one theology that seems to be cropping up here and there, it's everywhere, it feels like, is this idea that, you're forgiven for most of your sins, or you're forgiven eternally, but you still need a foot washing. And so in some churches and some belief systems, you'll end up hearing that the foot washing was actually an illustration of some sort of daily cleansing that you need. And it's very important that we realize, I mean, John 13 is not a theology of forgiveness. It is blood that forgave us and forgave us once for all. That's what Hebrews says, that Christians are people who are forgiven once for all. We're not 90% forgiven, you know, except our feet, but we are 100% forgiven because of the one sacrifice of Jesus Christ. So what it doesn't mean is some sort of thing about forgiveness. We don't form our theology of forgiveness from foot washing. In John 13, Jesus very clearly tells us, Saab, that the purpose of what he was doing was to display a radical servanthood. I mean, for him to be their leader and their teacher, their rabbi, as they looked at him and thought of him, and then for him to turn and wash their feet, I mean, that was a radical act of servanthood, and it had nothing to do with some sort of theology of forgiveness. So when he turns and he says, you are clean, but not all of you, he doesn't mean you're 90% clean except for your feet. He's actually talking about Judas. You guys are all clean. I mean, you're believing in me, and you're on a right road, and you're having faith in the Messiah, except, wait a minute, not all of you guys. There's one of you who's not, and he's referring to Judas there. So today, you know, if a church wants to demonstrate through foot washing the idea of radical servanthood, why not? I mean, why not have a demonstration of what Jesus did in John 13? But let's not forget that the whole point, it really is, are you going to let Jesus serve you? Now, I know that might sound insulting to some people. It's an attack on our ego. No, wait a minute. Let me serve Jesus. Come on. Let me serve Jesus. Well, before you do any serving of Jesus, it all starts with allowing Jesus to serve you. And so he served us through the cross and through the resurrection. And there really is a need for us to come humbly and receive of him, even though we think, no, no, why would he mess with me? Why would he bother with me? Who am I? Well, Jesus is demonstrating, no, no, that's exactly what needs to take place. You submit to my ways, and I serve you through the cross and the resurrection, and that's the only way that you can even think of serving me. So does that help?
Yeah, that's help. Thank you so much.
Thank you.
You bet, Saab.
Yeah, thank you. Thank you.
Thank you for your
Did you have more thoughts? Go for it.
No.
Did you have something?
No. I'm clear, but I just want to speak to my friend. That's what I call you, you know. I know something that's, I know completely is wrong, but I just want to get clear from you guys. That's all.
Right. Yeah. Right. Yeah, okay.
It's interesting that
thank you so much.
In the Greco-Roman world, it wasn't unusual at all to find a teacher with a group of followers. Not at all. I mean, they existed everywhere in all the big cities. Many of the towns had various people doing this. But in every case, the person who was in charge made it very clear that they were in charge and their students were there to serve them. Jesus completely broke that model by having people around him whom he served and who he prepared for service because he was giving them the message of life. And it was such a radically different thing than what was so common in the world around them that it sticks out when we read it in the Bible.
Yes, indeed. And I also think this, you know, this passage in John 13 really ties into, you know, John's first letter when he talks about, you know, this love is made complete in us when we love others as Christ has loved mm-hmm. us. It's that cycle, you know.
Yes.
God pours his love into our hearts by his Holy Spirit. He works that love inside of us, and then eventually it presses out into the lives of others. And that's what that passage is all about. Well, this is Basic Gospel. We welcome your call at 844-322-2742. A very interesting question that has come our way via email, and it's simply this: why is the whole world trying to move us away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? That's a biggie, isn't it?
It's the way of the world.
Yeah, but it's true.
Yes.
But why is that? Why is the whole world trying to move us away from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ? And how specifically is the world doing that in our culture today?
Well, guys, I mean, I think there are a lot of tantalizing distractions. And, of course, we can go to the traditional ones that churches have preached against quite often. I mean, you know, there's the tantalizing distractions of open, blatant sins of certain kinds, whether it's drunkenness and carousing and those sort of things. But you got to also remember that there's really two sides to this strategy. The enemy is not just trying to get everybody to engage in overt sin, but really there's this idea of covert sin, this cover-up, this good-looking sin. I mean, in Galatians, Paul says, you guys are acting foolish. You started with Jesus, and now look where you're headed. I mean, you're headed down the road of self-improvement and self-beautification and self-betterment. And if we don't watch it today, I think, you know, a lot of Christians think that's what church is and that's what Christianity is. And so this self-improvement thing. And so basically the enemy can get us one of two ways. He can say, well, look at this guy or girl. She's a well-adjusted religious performer. So I'm going to distract him or her in that way. And then look at this other guy. He's addicted to substances and looking for purpose and meaning in these things. And so I'm going to really push hard with him or her in this way. And so, you know, I've just named two extremes, but we can't forget that whether it's good-looking religious sin or bad-looking overt sin, really it's all a tantalizing distraction from just getting to know Jesus Christ and believing that he has the market cornered on fulfillment. And that's what Paul said. He said, I know a secret, guys, the secret of contentment. I've learned the secret of contentment in all my circumstances, and it comes through knowing Jesus.
Yes, it does. And we can't forget as well, this world that we live in is controlled by Satan, this world system. When he entered into the picture back in that garden and distracted Adam and Eve and made that tree of the knowledge of good and evil look desirable and all the things that he did, he introduced a new system, a new paradigm, and that's what the world's been operating on ever since. And that is a system that is opposed to God and is opposed to anything about God, including Jesus Christ. So the system that's in place is naturally anti-Christ. The spirit of Antichrist is in the world and has been in the world since the very beginning. And as you said, Drew, he lures us through either religious, you know, good works, quote, good works, or he captures us through these overt sins. But either way, it's you know, the world system pressing us and trying to capture us and move us away from Christ Jesus. And that's where this gospel message comes into play, that Jesus rescues us from that system and puts us in a brand new kingdom. And that's, like I said, we're in God's favor. That's what this new kingdom is all about. It's being in the very favor of God. Well, looks like Saab has another question for us. Let's go back and talk with him real quickly. Saab, you're on the air again.
Hello. Yeah, sorry, my phone is cut off. The other question is the reward. I think I asked you before. I think the another was not only the Corinthians. The another, I think in Philip, Philip's, or I don't know, I can't remember now. So is any whatever we do in this earth, do we receive any reward? Even when we, we are in Christ. But whatever do good works in this earth, are we receiving any reward?
Yeah. Well, you know, Paul told the Corinthians that at some point all of us, and that means all humans, will stand before the judgment seat of Christ. Get this now, not just Christians, but all humans. Because how do we know that he's referring to all humans there when he addresses the Corinthians? You know, 2 Corinthians 5, he says, all of us will appear. Well, some of us will be recompensed, paid back for our evil deeds. And then some of us will be recompensed for our good deeds. And so you say, well, who will be paid for their evil deeds? Well, not Christians, because Jesus Christ paid the price. So Christians won't have to answer for their sins because Jesus answered for our sins and our faith is in him. And then you say, well, who is it that's going to be recompensed for their good deeds? Well, that wouldn't be unbelievers because their deeds are like filthy rags. So that has to be believers. And so in some sense, just like in the parable of the vineyard workers, people have worked and they line up to get paid and grace is shown. I mean, grace is shown in our case because it's Christ working through us and everything that we do is a fruit of the Spirit, is a byproduct of the Spirit. And it's works that God prepared in advance for us anyway. So all we're doing is walking in the works that God prepared in advance. And then at the end of the age with this grand ceremony, so to speak, it seems like really we're kind of celebrating all that the Son of God is about and all that he's done as he has painted expressions of his life on us. We're just the canvas. He's the master painter. We're the canvas. And so he's painted his heart out thousands of times, millions of times throughout history, but he wants to paint again on your canvas and my canvas and express his life through us. And so when we think of reward, it's not really about what we do for God. It's what God has done in and through us. And that's the beauty of Christianity. Christ in you, your only hope of expressing anything.
That's right. Yeah, I told my colleague, big reward we have, Jesus, is a big reward. What else we want, isn't it? But, Jesus came to my life. That is a reward.
Yeah, that's the best reward indeed, Saab. Well, thanks again for your call today.
We're almost
out of time on this edition of Basic Gospel. Andrew, thanks for being a part with us today. We always appreciate your keen insight and what you bring to the table when you join us. So thank you for that. And we have a great conference coming up, don't we, here in a couple of weeks.
Oh, it's just around the corner, April 24 to 26 in Virginia. So if you live in Virginia or Maryland or the Carolinas, if you're not too far away and you want to come see Bob Christopher teaching on the grace of God, I'll be there as well and three other grace teachers. You can go to network220.org and get more information. Also on the Basic Gospel site, basicgospel.net, you can get all the information you need about this upcoming conference. April 24 in Virginia, it's the Network 220 convention.
And we would love to see you there. Also, a reminder that Basic Gospel is listener supported. We have a wonderful resource this month that we want to put in your hands. It's called Proof, the Resurrection of Jesus Christ. So many questions out there that are being raised about the actual resurrection of Jesus Christ. This examines the evidence. We want to put it in your hands. It's available for a gift of any amount at basicgospel.net.